Thirdly, look at verse 13. Contentment prepares me for experiencing the power of God. Remember this verse we all know so well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is smack dab in the middle of a discussion about contentment, discontentment, and giving to the Lord's work. Because he's talking to the people that were giving. And by the way, he promises them in the last verse, in verse 19, he's saying, just like you provided my needs, my God shall supply all your needs. He says, you have given to me, God's going to give to you. Now, we're not on the PTL club right now, you know, on that. I'm not giving the mantra of, you know, you put in 10 and God will give you 100. No. He's saying, the good, omniscient, omnipotent God who knows that you cared for my needs for your lifetime is going to take care of you. But it might not be monetarily, because those people gave out of their poverty and they never seemed to get unimpoverished. But contentment, verse 13, prepares me for experiencing the power of God. Contentment unleashes the power of the God who says, Paul, who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Jesus Christ who is unleashed to strengthen us when we believe he's good, when we believe he knows better than we do, and when we know he can do anything. It unleashes the power of God. And finally, I love this. Verse 14 onward, contentment preoccupies me with the needs of others. Do you know how you can tell someone is contented? They're not preoccupied with himself. They're not preoccupied with my plans, that are being ruined, and my goals that aren't happening, or my needs that aren't being met. They are preoccupied with the needs of others. And they see themselves as the hands of Christ, as the feet of Christ, as the voice of Christ. They see themselves in an extension of the Lord. And they are preoccupied in extending themselves for others. Now, it doesn't mean they don't take care of their personal needs, but they're not preoccupied with them. And contentment preoccupies me with the needs of others. Look how Paul talks in verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. It isn't that he doesn't say he's in distress, but the emphasis, he's preoccupied with them, and he wants them to know how much they've helped him. They're the only church that has continuously provided for his needs, and he commends them. Well, that 13th verse, just look at it for a minute. It just leaps off the page, and I think it's the center of this. Contentment unleashes the power of God, but it's only possible through learning that Christ is the one that supplies the strength to live this way. I just copied down some of the great translations and paraphrases. J.B. Phillips says, I am ready for anything, verse 13, he's translating it, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me. So I'm ready for anything, prison or being around the top. By the way, Paul, if you read his epistles, he names 100 individuals, no less than 100. Different people. And if you look at the group of people he was writing to, so you know where these people are from, or you look at Roman history, especially the group at the end of Romans 16, Paul personally knew slaves, nameless people, they only had one name, they were just merchandise owned by their master. He knew mid-level, kind of the rich and powerful of his day. One of them, his name is Erastus. He was the head of public works at Corinth. If you go to Corinth today, when we take groups there, after we see the Bema seat, we take them to the public works, the sewer of Corinth, and you can see Erastus's name. It says Erastus, the chief public servant of the city of Corinth, is engraved in the different stone of the public works. Kind of like sidewalks. Do you remember when sidewalks used to have the stamp? When I'd ride my bike, I'd always look and see who made that sidewalk, and it would tell the company that made it and the year and everything. I don't think they do that anymore because machines just, you know, but it used to be when the guy did this, you know, they'd put in their mark and they'd put the name of the company. That was an ancient tradition that artisans signed their work. And Erastus signed that he was in charge of the public works of the great city of Corinth. He was one of Paul's friends. I mean, he was very powerful, wealthy, influential. And then at the end of Romans, Paul even names a Roman senator that was his friend. By name, he names him. So Paul had friends in the highest echelons, in the mid-range, and with the lowliest. But you know what he said? I am ready for anything, whether I'm high, low, or in the middle, through the strength of the one who lives in me. Here's what Ken Taylor in Living Bible translates, verse 13 of Philippians 4. I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and power. with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. So anything God asks me to do, I can do. Isn't that neat? Ken Taylor, writing to his kids, captured the essence of that verse. And then the Amplified, Lachlan Foundation, a few years back, translated that 13th verse this way. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Self-sufficiency just by itself is negative. We are not self-sufficient, we're dependent. But I become self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency is what Paul confessed. No matter which translation you prefer, they all say the same thing. We as believers have Christ's power that is ready for any of the demands of life. But the power is only released when we believe God, that He's good, that He is wisely knowing all things, and that He accomplishes His purpose.